Yes. And how I tried to ease into the water and do some things where they would not be offensive to us. And you know, I hope now, at least those that were here, know where I'm going and what I see as worship in the Scriptures. And its vitalness. Psalms 45, if you begin at the beginning, right under where it starts with Psalms 45, you'll have some sort of heading there for that psalm. Do you not? What are some of the headings that we have here? What does your Bible say? Celebrating the king's marriage. Good. What else do we have? Anybody got something different? The Psalm of Love. Song of Love. Good. What else? Song of Rejoicing. To the tune of lilies. Okay. Well, we are his lily of the valley. Now, I know we sing the song, he is the lily of the valley, but if you'll really look at the Song of Solomon, he's really talking about the bride, the woman that is the lily. We're his lily. That's good. So it's a messianic psalm. Now, what does that mean? That means the king. It's a psalm. It's a psalm about the king. And what this specific psalm is about his marriage. It's about his marriage. Is he married? Is our King Jesus married? Is he married? Does everybody agree that he's married? Does the Bible say that he's married? Who is he married to? The church. He's married to this building. He's not? He's married to this carpet. No, he's not. What is he married to? He's married to his people. Are you a people? Then he's married to you. Am I right? You're a part of the body of Christ that he's married to. Are you? Yes. And because that becomes so vital in understanding this psalm and understanding what he's talking about here. And so as we begin reading, let's look at verse 9. King's daughters were among thy noble women, and upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold. Now, where is the queen? The right hand. Who is the queen? Would it be the church? And where is the church? Pardon? At the right hand. Does the Bible say in Ephesians 2, verse 6, that he hath caught us up together and made us to sit together where? In the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So where we are, and we're sitting there, we're his queen, the church is his queen, and we're sitting at his right hand. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. Did Jesus say, I come not to bring peace, but a sword? I will divide you against your father and your mother and your... He goes through all this list here. He said, you love me, and in your comparison for your love for me will be hate for them. You can't follow after me. Is that what he says? And so we got to forget those things that are behind, Paul says, and press on, loving him. And then verse 11, and here's where I'm at. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. Now, who is he desiring the beauty of? The queen, which is the church, and let's bring it down, which is you. No, I say me. Say, don't say us. Say it's me. Does he desire your beauty? Now, please notice that this verse doesn't say that he thinks that she's pretty. That's not what it's saying, is it? Now, he does, but is that what the verse is saying? No. Does he think, though, that she is beautiful? Yeah. It doesn't say that he thinks she's pretty. What it does say is that he desires her beauty. Am I right? He desires her beauty, but it doesn't say he only desires her beauty. What does it say? He greatly desires her beauty. Now, what does that mean? He just thinks she's a doll? Thinks she's a fox? What does that mean? If he greatly desires her, now, can I just be real? Can we just I say, I can't teach you worship unless you let me teach you worship. When I met this woman, I thought she was pretty. I thought she was beautiful. Now I desire that beauty. Is there a difference? You see what I'm trying to say here? And the king desires your beauty. And he doesn't just desire it a little bit. What does it say? He greatly desires it. Do you believe that? See, what we would say was, how can he desire me? Look at all the junk in my life. Look at all the things that are in me. But does he desire you? Does he desire me? Say this after me. The king desires me. The king greatly desires me. He wants to hold you. He wants to love you. He wants to look upon you. I mean, knows that I'm in the spirit realm. You know what I'm talking about here. But he desires his church and his bride. Talking about worship. I'm talking about worship. What is the response now, since we understand that the king greatly desires the queen? What is her response to him? What is it? What does it say here? For he is the Lord, and worship thou him. What is the response to him desiring me? Worship. The response of the queen, the proper response of the queen for his desiring her, is for him to worship him. Now, I showed us last time that praise and worship can be compared to a marriage. And I want to go back and I want to hook up some of those things again, because most of the times when we come into a church service and we say, well, we're going to have our worship service, that's kind of all conclusive. Most folks never understand the difference between praise and worship. There is a vast difference. There is a vast difference. And last time I gave you six differences in praise and worship. Let's see what we learned. Let's go back. We'll do praise. We'll do worship. And it will behoove you if you will do a similar thing with this on your notes so that you'll understand praise and worship. What is one of the things I said the difference was? Our expression. Okay, good. I want looking for the first one that I want to talk about. Okay, that is. I'm not hearing the one that I want to hear first. Unless you understand this one first, the rest of it won't fall in line. The first one is apparel. The first one is apparel. In other words, what we adorn ourselves in as we come into praise and worship. Right. Let's do apparel. Lance, if I misspell something, please tell me. Okay. Huh? Apparel. What does the Bible tell us to put on as we come into praise? A garment of praise. Give us the verse, please. So you'll have reference to it. In Isaiah 61:3, it says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion the garment of praise. Now, there are several things that are appointed there. But you are appointed a garment of praise. Who puts it on, though? Do you have to put it on? Do you have to put this on when you come in here? When you come in here, you have to be adorned with the garment of praise. And so as you come in ready to praise Him. You've got the right garments on, and you begin to praise Him. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. Now, in worship, what do we put on as apparel? What are we in over here? If we're in garment of praise and praise, what are we in worship? Spirit and truth. First John 4:23. tells us that the Father seeks such to worship Him, they that worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, I'm going to talk about this a little bit more in just a little while, but let me give you just a little. Why then? Why are we adorned differently? Well, because praise is different than His worship. Praise talks about what God has done, is doing, and will do in our lives. Praise is violent. John the Baptist says, "The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." And so there is a violence that has to happen in praise. You come in here, and you'll be down. You'll be mourning about something. There'll be something on you, something you're down about. If you put on this garment of praise and you enter into praise, you go into war, and you violently get that thing off of you. That's what praise is about. You come in, and you go into a violent praise, and that thing must leave you. You cannot praise God and stay and mourn. You cannot. You have to hang your harp on a willow and praise Him. You can't mourn Him and be in praise. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, I don't know if I've got all these up there or not. In Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10, it says there to put on, therefore, the armor of God. Am I right? Helmet up, salvation, breastplate up, righteousness, loins girded, truth, feet shod, preparation of the God, sword of the... See, when you go into praise and worship, you're going into violence, and you're going in to take back some land that the enemy's trying to take from you. He's trying to put a spirit of mourning on us. We won't have it. That's why we do that. And also, there's other garments. See, you have your party garment. Praise is basically one of two things. Praise is either warfare, or praise is party, rejoicing. Is rejoicing kind of like party? If I'm in a rejoicing mood, am I in a party mood? And remember the king who invited the people to come to the wedding feast, and this dude had on the wrong garment? Huh? See, there are garments that we have to put on as we come in. So there is the party garment. We come in and we're going to a party. Now, when we go to a party, we don't take our weapons. We don't take our sword with us, do we? We just go to have fun. So praise will be of two parts. Praise will be of war, or praise will be of rejoicing and party. Is worship that way? When we worship the Lord, do we put on our helmet of salvation and our breastplate of righteousness? Do we take the sword of the Spirit when we worship Him? What is worship about? You see, there's a totally different garment. In fact, there is no garment. Because you're in only spirit and truth. You have nothing on. It's truth. It's truth. Now, I can tell you that under this suit is a body like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Right? I could tell you that. My wife knows different. Right? And so we have to understand that when you're in spirit and truth, you're not hiding anything from the Lord. We're just there in His presence. Open. So when we come into worship, we're not swinging swords. We're not stomping the devil. We're in a totally different mode. The songs and the words, and this will just go to the second one. What is the difference of the words? Words of the songs, or words that we say or sing. What are words of praise about? What He's done, doing, and will do. Are there words about victory and overcoming and violence to the enemy? Are there words about putting Him under our feet? Are there words about the mightiness of God? Let's look at one we sang today. And we've got a couple here I want you to see as well. We sang, "I belong to a mighty God." Let's look at some of the words that we sang today. One that we sang is really violent. What is the name of it? I have no mercy on the works of the devil. And that one is that was one of the most violent ones we sang. But it says, I belong to a mighty God. I belong to Jesus. I'm guided by His staff and rod. I belong to a mighty God. What are we saying there? He is mighty. He's going to take us into victory. And this is what praise songs kind of gets into. Now go back and just put up there for me, please, the psalm of Exodus, the scripture of Exodus 15:20. Now, I want to show you the violence that's in praise. When God delivered the nation of Israel out of Egypt and out of bondage, what did He do? What did He do to those Egyptians when they came through the Red Sea? He drowned them. And we sing a song sometimes. I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the riders fought, thrown into the sea. And we just clap. Oh, I will try. I will sing unto the Lord. And we dance. What are we saying, though? Well, what are we saying there? God has killed all those people. Hallelujah! Am I right? And this is what Miriam and all the gals did. They got their tambourines out and they just went to dancing and pray because there was a violence that had happened. And God's people got set free. You see, to get set free, there has to be a violence that comes forth in praise. One more. Let me show you one more. David would go out and battle the Philistines. And then when he would come back in, and I have this one for you, it's in 1 Samuel 18:6. And it says, and it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, from what? From the slaughter of the Philistines. Is that violent? That the women came out of the cities of Israel singing and dancing. What were they doing? Singing and dancing. Why? Because Saul had killed his thousands, but David had killed his tens of thousands. Oh, hallelujah! You see, in praise, there is warfare. There is violence. And the kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. To get stuff off of you, you've got to come into a place of praise where it's violent. There's also rejoicing. The Bible says just have a good time with the Lord and rejoice in Him. But it's different. The words are different in worship. What are the words, so we can say violent here, right? Violent, victory, triumph. What are the words become in worship? Words of love. Words of intimacy. Serious. Intimacy. Let me show you a couple that we sang today. This one's, I worship You, Almighty God. I worship You, Almighty God. There is none like You. What's the focus on here? Warfare? No, it's on Him. I worship You, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. I give You a praise. You're the love of my life. What is worship doing now? Worship is not warring. Worship is loving. Worship is coming into a place of putting ourselves in a position for the Lord to hold us and for us to hold Him. Love becomes the centrality of worship. You're the love of my life. You're the joy of my morning. You're the song of my heart, and I will praise Your holy name. How many of you husbands would love your wife to sing that to you? Huh? Boy, wouldn't that? Yes, it would. Yeah, it would. Now, come on now. Yes, you know you love for her to just let you know how much she loves you. Don't you? Come on, guys. Don't leave me out here hanging. You love her to tell you how wonderful you are. Do you not? Sure you do. Here is one. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. We sang this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. You're not looking at enemies. You're not looking at the Philistines. You're not looking at the Egyptians when you're in worship. Who are you focused on? You're focused on the Lord. You're looking into His wonderful face. You've put yourself in a position where it's just Him and you. You've come into a secret place with Him. You've gone beyond the living room, the outer court, and the holy place, and you've entered into the loving room, the most holy place, the secret place in God. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Is that not true? If you've ever experienced worship, you have forgotten everything. Come on, guys. When you're with that wife, when you're with that love of your heart, when you're in that secret place, your mind is only on her. Am I right? And there is a secret place. There is a place that we can come to in Him. Now, this is what I'm talking about. So what happens here to the words when we're singing praise songs? In praise songs? Violence, victory, triumph, stomping the enemy. But what happens in worship? Totally different. Now, the third thing that I want to put, I don't think I said this last week, but as you can already see, the third thing that I want to talk about here, the third level, the third difference is maturity. Just as a child cannot understand Hebrews up there. Put Hebrews 13 up there for me. Let me read this verse and then I can spring off of it. In Hebrews 13, the Bible says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Does the Bible say that the marriage bed is undefiled? Yes, it is. Your children, little ones, immature people, can never understand the intimacy between mom and dad. They can't understand that. Same way in Christianity. Immature Christians cannot understand worship. See, worship is not playing doctor. Worship is creating something within us to bring forth life in the kingdom of God. Worship is coming into the secret place with the Lord. Worship is getting into a place with Him where He holds us and we hold Him. And there's an intimacy that's exchanged. Immature Christians never understand worship. They don't understand the necessity of it. How plain can I get? See, when you really understand, when a man understands how he wants his wife to respond to him, you'll understand how the Lord wants you to respond to Him in worship. And responding any other way is not coming into a place for Him. And it takes levels of maturity. You have to understand this. Now, did the prophet say that I was a man of understanding and that this was a people of understanding? Is that what we've been told? And so we need to understand the necessity of worship. Because it's in worship. Hear me now. Here's where I'm going. It's in worship that conception happens. It's in worship that He'll speak something into the womb of our heart and create something in our life. It's in worship. We're focused on Him. Oh, we'll get things broken off of our life in praise. But it's in worship that we receive something that will bring forth life in the kingdom. Do you believe that there's a level of intimate of maturity that's required in praise? Do you? Do you have to come into a place in praise that you will put on? You don't send children out to battle, do you? Do you? Don't you have to come to some level of maturity in praise? But don't you also need to come into some level of maturity in worship? Especially when you start understanding how the Bible teaches it. Especially when you really start understanding what worship is really about. You don't send children to fight, but neither do you send children to worship. And we have to come into these places. Fourth level I want to talk about. Fourth difference. The difference of the manifested gifts. I'm going to speed up a little bit, because we've already talked about this. Is there a difference in the gifts of the Spirit, or the manifestation of the Spirit that comes out while we're in praise? Is there a difference in that than in worship? Understand that if we see praise as warfare and violence, which it is, if we see that, then what would happen is the soldiers would come and begin to attack a city or begin to attack the enemy. They would shout as they went forth. Remember Jericho? Remember that? They shouted. And what would happen is this would build them up. And they would hear the other one shout next to them, or 500 yards down. They would hear them shout down there. And they would hear them shouting down that way. And they would let us know, oh, they're all shouting. And they're all getting edified. And they're all getting their courage built up. And they would go after it. You see, what do we do during praise? Do we shout? And we get ourselves edified by talking in tongues. Does the Bible say that if we speak in tongues, we're edifying who? We're edifying ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 4 says that when we speak in an unknown tongue, we edify ourselves. And what happens in praise and worship is you'll hear people shouting, and I hear her shout, and it makes me want to shout. And you'll hear me and her shout, and it makes you want to shout. Come on, am I right? And all of a sudden, people start shouting so we can go and take something. And you'll hear her talking. I'll hear her talking in tongues. And I'll start talking in tongues. And we start getting built up. And if you're missing this, then you're missing a lot. I love to hear you shout. Why? Because it builds me up. Come on, am I right? And that's what happens in praise. But do we shout and dance and jump and holler and hoop when we're in worship? What gifts come forth in worship? Prophecy. Very good. In fact, all the rest of them will. When does usually we pray for people for healing? And people receive their healing? Worship? Gifts of healing? Prophecies come forth during worship. All right? Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discernment of spirit. The gifts are manifested in worship. Why is this? Because chapter 12, which lists the gifts of the Spirit of 1 Corinthians, and chapter 14, which tells us how these gifts work in 1 Corinthians 14, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, right in the middle of chapter 12 and chapter 14 is what? Love, right, Marnie? And so it tells us that it's love that really manifests these gifts. And as we come into the mode of love, to the place of love, these gifts come forth. And the Lord comes in and He begins to love us. He begins to love His people. He begins to heal them and minister to them. He begins to set them free. Because the gifts are different in worship than they are in praise. Let me, one more thing I want to say here. When does the song of the Lord come in praise and worship? In worship. What is the song of the Lord? The Lord singing to His bride. Isn't that beautiful? It's in worship. He begins to sing to His church, to His queen. And then there is the song to the Lord. What would that be? It's when the bride sings to Him. Oh, that's worship. How about physical positions? What do we do? What does the Bible say do? And we do. What does the Bible say to do the physical motions or positions should be during praise? What are some? Dance. Good. What else? Clap. Rejoice, right? Shout. Lift your hands. Wave offering. Wave. See, all these are motions and physical means of praise. But when you find people worshiping the Lord in the Scriptures, What are their physical positions? Think of some. Think of some. Bow. Kneel. And the elders in the book of Revelation? Why? He wants to hold us. He wants to get close to us. We're in worship. He doesn't want us jumping around. I mean, how many guys you want to hold your wife and she's just jumping around? No. Will you be still so I can hold you? Genesis 1:20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. Let the waters what? Bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Verse 21. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly. What brought them forth? The waters. After their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Was it good? God said it was good. And then in verse 24 of Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let the earth bring forth. Let what bring forth? The earth. Let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind. Cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. Was it so? So the earth brought forth, and then the waters brought forth, and then the earth brought forth. Now here's what I want you to see. God spoke to the source. God spoke to the source before he spoke to the substance. God spoke to the waters before there were fish. God spoke to the earth before there were cattle. Right? Why? Because the substance is dependent upon the source. The substance is dependent upon the source. You take a fish out of water, what happens? Come on. This is simple. What happens? What does he do first? Right? He flops around. Right? But he will eventually die. Take a cattle and put a fence around this place on this asphalt and put those cattle in on that asphalt, and you don't give them anything else from the earth to eat. What happens to that cattle? That cow? It'll die. What will it do first? It'll move, it'll bellow, but it will eventually die. Why? Because the substance is dependent upon the source. Take a Christian out of church. Oh, damn. It was good till you did that. You take a Christian away from God, what happens? What happens first? They flop around. Come on, they bellow, they move. But eventually what happens? They die. They're separated from God. Am I right or not right now? Come on. You know this is true. And you don't even have to leave church. You just stop worshiping him. You'll still flop around. You'll still bellow and holler and shout. But you're still going to die if you've left the source. Am I right? And if you're not allowing him to come into your life and deposit himself in there, and create to you and speak to you, then you're going to die. Oh, you may flop and holler and scream for a little while, but eventually you're going to die, and you can be right here and do it. Have you ever seen Christians and you know they're talking about people? Oh, you know they're in sin, horrible stuff in their life, all kinds of debauchery, all kinds of bad things going on, and you know it, but they're in here flopping. They're in here bellowing. They're going to die. Because you can't get in that stuff and worship. You can't continue to let him hold you and love you and deposit himself into you and stay in that stuff. Worship is where you receive him. Worship is where something is conceived in your womb of your heart. It brings forth life. Not just for you,
but for everything around you. He spoke to the water, but was it just one fish? How many fish? How many whales? How many creatures of the sea? If He speaks to you, what's it going to affect in your family? All of your family. Look at one more verse, and I'll land. I have to because I'm out of notes. That really never stopped me before, but more like I'm out of time. Genesis 1:26. Now, who did God speak to? What did God speak to when He created the fish? The water. Who did He speak to when He created the cattle? The ground, right? Who did He speak to when He created you and me? Look at this. Genesis 1:26, and God said, "Let us, in our image, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." You see, He speaks to the source before He speaks to the substance. Outside of Him, folks, we die. Outside of His source in our lives, I don't care what it is, it will dry up and perish. Well, it'll flop for a little while, just as that fish. But eventually that fish is going to dry up, become stinky, and it's dead. Before it's up, that cow's going to beller and shout. See, because we're in a mess, initially we have a concept, well, I'm okay. We get out of church, or we get away from the Lord, or we just stop worshiping the Lord, and our lives don't fall apart immediately. Well, they're not going to fall apart immediately. You'll flop a while, and you'll beller a while. But eventually, it's going to die. Your finances, your marriage, come on, your children, your workplace, everything will dry up in your life and die outside of the source of Jesus Christ. Everything. And you got to go back to the source. And you do that in worship. It's in worship, in His secret place, that He comes. He holds us. He loves us. He whispers the secrets into our hearts that he and I only know. He helps me overcome. He loves me. And I respond to Him in worship. There's a vast difference of praise and worship. Praise is violence and praise is party. Worship is love. Worship is intimacy. I want LifeGate Church to be a church of love. Thus, it will be a church of worship. Can't separate them. Can't separate them. Would you stand? Amen. We haven't prayed for people today. Need this move too. Right now, we have received a seed. See, our services are aligned in a certain way. We come in. We hug necks. We greet one another. Then we come into praise. We go into warfare. We come into a time of warring to get you free from things that are binding you up. And then we come into a time of party. And then we go directly from there into a time of worship. We come into a time where our hearts are now prepared to receive the seed of God, which is His Word. I had that verse and I didn't read it for you. But I have now given you His seed, His Word. It's in your heart now. You've received it. Now it's going to bring forth fruit. Now it's going to minister to you. And out of this, He's holding us and He's loving us. What do you need? What do you need? You need healing in your body? He'll heal you because He loves you. He desires your beauty. If you respond to Him in worship, He'll respond to you. What do you desire? You need your finances straightened out? Respond to Him. Need your children straightened out? Respond to Him. Need a workplace straightened out? Respond to Him. Need your marriage? Whatever. Respond to Him. He will come into the secret place and love you and show you how to correct it. Father, we've shared your word. We've shared, we've praised, we've loved you, we've worshiped.